from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is Fresh Fridays, the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes,
even those of you who've threatened to stop listening to us after our last interview, and those who love us now.
Hey, one thing about here's what I like about our show. When you turn us on, the show that is, you have no idea which way you're going to feel. There's days that you might say yes, and there's days that you might say I'm turning them off.
And today we've got both, but we love you anyway, and we look forward to talking to you again on Monday. And if you're still with us, awesome.
All right. What's coming up the rest of the show, Ursula?
Okay, coming up after Heather's newscast at 10:30, we are going to talk to Mike Salk. That's always a ton of fun. And we're going to talk about how this Sunday's game is going to be without Russell Wilson. Agree to disagree. And then we, you know, the discussion that we were going to have, which I'm looking forward to, and I know we're going to have tons of laughs, is coming up at 11:33. And that's about the things that are brought up with therapists, the things that people hate about their jobs or that have caused them some kind of trauma.
I want to do something that you just going to bother you because you don't like anything last minute, but it's Friday and it's like feels like recess. 888-973-CHIRO. I need you guys to send in a real simple scenario, and I'm just going to do, we're going to do it off the fly. We're going to take a texter scenario. It has to be just real simple, something easy for Friday. Send us in, and we'll probably use that. But right now, it's time for the top three things you need to know at 10.
Number one.
And of course, this is our time that we talk to our friend and colleague, Michael Medved, who has his own show on our sister station, 770 KTTH. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Ursula. How are you doing? You hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. You sound great, actually. So
well, terrific.
We're going to start off with a story that I'm sure that you've heard, and this is that the number two House Republican, Representative Steve Scalise, refused to say that the election was not stolen. He was actually asked three times by Chris Wallace on Fox News. And the former president says Republicans shouldn't vote in the midterms or the 2024 election if 2020 fraud isn't solved. I want to get your reaction to that. And if you could kind of give us what you have heard is the percentage of your party that still believes the election is stolen.
It depends on how you ask the question. And I don't believe that this is going to help Trump at all. I certainly don't think it's going to help the Republican Party. There was a great editorial today in the Wall Street Journal to saying that what Trump is doing here is playing hostage politics. And they're comparing what he's talking about doing now to what he actually did do to give the Democrats control of the U.S. Senate when he went and campaigned in Georgia. And told people in Georgia when they were voting for two senators, both against Senator Loeffler and against Senator Perdue, he said, look, your state is corrupt. The elections don't work. They have stolen elections. Your vote won't count. And that, every analyst seems to believe, depressed turnout enough among Republicans to give the two Democrats, Senator Warnock and Senator, and now I'm quickly forgetting the other one, to give those two Democrats the victories and control of the U.S. Senate.
Let me, what does that mean for 2022 coming up? And of course, 2024, but just these midterms is going to be coming up. If there is this constant, hey, the election was stolen. Hey, there's so much fraud. Hey, there's corruption. Wouldn't that work against folks? Because wouldn't that make some not want to vote?
Well, that's exactly the point. That's the point the Wall Street Journal was making. That's the point that I was going to. President Trump tried this after the presidential election, after he clearly lost. You remember they had that runoff in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And that runoff was a disaster for Republicans. And that's what all of this talk about election fraud is going to mean. And what President Trump implied is that we have all the evidence. We have to get to the bottom of this. In other words, the stupid part about this whole thing is, okay, let's say you actually believe that the election was stolen. What do you propose to do about it? I mean, does talking about it help in this situation? If you don't like the way the election turned out, then you have other elections to vote in. But there is no mechanism in the United States where you can undo the election of a president in the middle of a term.
I want to take this in another direction. Then why is there no viable third party or fourth party in this country? Can we ever get another option to the two very, if in our opinion, problematic parties that we have?
Well, I'm going to be talking to Andrew Yang about that today. He's coming on the show.
Oh.
He's launching a new Forward Party, which he hopes will appeal to both disillusioned Democrats and disillusioned Republicans. And he's an interesting figure. He's written a new book, and I look forward to talking to him. But by the way, Jonah Goldberg, stalwart Republican for years and years, and David French have both come out in favor of a new conservative party, unless the Republican Party can clean up its act. And we're also going to be talking about that.
So what time on your show will you have Andrew Yang?
It's going to be live today. I believe it's the second hour, so it would be from 1 o'clock on. But in any event, we're going to post that interview on our website at michaelmedved.com, too.
Okay, so you talked about the conservative party or a conservative party to switch it up because of the Trump segment of your party. What about the Democrats, though? I mean, right now, they can't get anything done, even though they have the House, the Senate, and the White House.
No, the obvious thing that needs to happen is more cooperation between people in the middle on both parties, because it's a ridiculous situation if we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Donald Trump as the two alternatives facing the United States, because that's not the basis on which Joe Biden got elected. Joe Biden got elected as a guy who would be in the middle, who would bring people together, who would get things done, as they have done, as they did do with the infrastructure bill. But now the infrastructure bill is blocked not by Republicans. 18 Republican senators voted for it. It's blocked by radical Democratic progressives like Pramila Jayapal, who really need to get with the program that Biden got elected on.
You know, when I hear that and I hear about the idea, Ursula, as a matter of fact, talks about it all the time. It talks about our conversations, like the common sense approach, the sensible approach, instead of the radicals on both sides. But, you know, Michael, I think about that sometimes, and then I think, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to happen. And the most perfect example of that is this. The majority of people that use their platforms to discourage vaccines are vaccinated. That right there tells me that all of the folks that want to have sensible conversations, it don't work.
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with you on that. Because
okay.
I do think the rate of vaccination has gone up. I played yesterday. There was a very interesting story from Florida, from Gainesville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out like a joke, which is an anti-vaxxer and a doctor walk into a bar. They were in a sports bar having lunch. Mm-hmm. And they ended up sitting next to each other on the counter. And they stayed there for 3 hours having a conversation about vaccines. This was a guy who decided not to get vaccinated. And at the end of the 3 hours conversation, because the doctor, whose name was Dr. Mitchell, because he addressed him with respect and basically trying to persuade, the guy just got vaccinated. And I do believe that's happening. If you look at the number of people who are basically turning away from some of the nonsense, mm-hmm. and listening to what are rational arguments, not for force, but for doing the right thing for yourself and for the country, I think there's reason to be encouraged.
I actually agree with you on that one, Michael. Okay, we're going to move on.
Number two.
President Biden's White House Commission on Supreme Court Reforms has just released the report, and they do not recommend expanding the court, but they are laying out a potential path to 18-year term limits. Where do you stand on Supreme Court reform, Michael?
I think that it's probably not a bad idea to have the term limits. I think it's a terrible idea to expand the membership in the court simply because it has worked out that you've gotten a preponderance of Republican appointees recently. That will take care of itself. And I do think that there's also a more encouragement, obviously, if you have 18-year term limits for people to retire even before 18 years. And I do think that there's health to that. There's no reason. We have a problem in all our political system right now, including the Supreme Court, of gerontocracy, of people who are very elderly. Do you know that three leading Democrats in the House of Representatives are all over 80? It's Jim Clyburn and Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi's 81. That's and then you go to the Senate. Chuck Schumer is 70. We have a 78-year-old president.
Right.
I mean, this is so. Again, I'm being sort of on the elderly side myself, I guess. I don't want to sound hypocritical on something like this, but if for elective office and certainly for appointive office, it's advantageous if you can freshen it up a little bit.
Okay, so would you agree with 18-year term limits, or would you agree with an age drop off? I mean, like
an 18-year term limit, yeah. Because the 18-year term limit takes care of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
because then there would be a lot of debate as to what age is like too old, right? I mean,
right.
I'm looking at William Shatner at 90 going into space, and I'm thinking, okay, he could do it.
Would this not be a good time to bring up term limits on marriages? Just kidding. Just kidding. Just putting some jokes. It's some jokes. Okay. Just kidding. All right. Let's get to number three.
Number three.
Okay. Michael, we need to talk about critical race theory. Something we haven't talked about in a while, but down there in Texas, an anti-critical race theory law was passed mandating all curriculum expose students to, quote, opposing views. Now, here is how this is playing out. This comes from the Carroll School District, where a school leader addressed teachers worried they could be fired for teaching about the Holocaust.
As you go through, just try to remember the concepts of 3979 and make sure that if you have a book on the Holocaust, that you have one that has opposing, that has other.
How do you oppose the Holocaust?
What? Believe me, that's come up.
So number the stars.
No.
Okay, so there's a lot of discussion, but to make clear, opposing views on the Holocaust. So what are they trying to get teachers to teach in Texas?
Well, first of all, the author of that law has said that this was not his intention. He said, again, I think what the bill was at least designed to do was to talk about items of current controversy. There is no real item of controversy on the positive side of the Holocaust. There's no item of controversy on the positive side of slavery. I mean, I know that there are radicals and crazies out there and people like Confederates back in the day who say, well, slavery is actually a blessing for the unfortunate people of color who were kidnapped and ripped from their homes and enslaved. But that is not a position that is taken in any rational basis today. So I don't think that they would be intending with the law. And it seems to me what the school district seems to be trying to do is to show opposition to the law, bringing up the this idea of what's the other side of the Holocaust, because that's kind of the most prominent example that people would reach to, of many you could reach to, where there is no real controversy.
Okay, but you got to admit, this is just ridiculous.
Of course.
We
have enough controversies without throwing this into it. I mean, again, one of the things that bothers me, and this is what bothers me so much about all of the debate about the pandemic and about the vaccines and the mandates, we've just gotten to the point in this country where we argue about everything. we argue about whether the earth is round. I mean, there are flat earthers out there. And
I got to ask you a question. I know they're flat earthers. Yesterday I asked this question. I asked it in kind of in a depressed state because G had showed us something to Chef and I, something that had happened at Costco yesterday. And I had to ask myself, with just so many of the things that we cover, do you feel like we're getting better as a country when it comes to whether you talked about us disagreeing on everything? And my question was, you know, are we getting better in terms of addressing racism or anything? Or, you know, now this CRT and anti-CRT and all the debates that go on. And I just feel like, are we going backwards?
I think in some ways we are. And it's terrible. And partially it's because of people using this for partisan purposes and sometimes for personal gain. You made a profound and important point, which is all those people who are promoting the anti-vax stuff are themselves vaccinated. So what does that tell you? That means that if you've gotten vaccinated yourself, then why don't you think somebody else should? And the answer is because maybe it can help your ratings. Maybe it can help you sell products of different kinds. But it has to do with putting yourself over the public good. And I think that's going backward entirely.
Well, before you go, Daniel Craig's last movie role, No Time to Die, is coming to new James Bond, one of the last James Bond movies for Daniel Craig. Your thoughts on that, bro?
Yeah, this new movie is pretty good. And the point is, it's sort of like James Bond grows up, which not everybody's going to like. I mean, there's less double entendre, there's less instant seduction, there's less booze, there's less... The whole idea of James Bond was he was sort of an adolescent's view of what it meant to be a heroic guy. In this movie, it's more serious. And it's kind of less fun, but you can take him more seriously as a character. And this will be Daniel Craig's last role, and when people, I'm not last role as James Bond, but I do believe he is planning to do other movie roles. I know he signed up for some stage work, live stage work, and he's a good actor, and more power to him. This film has not done quite as spectacularly well as they had hoped, but it's still doing fine at the box office.
Well, thank you, Michael. Really appreciate your time. Have a great Friday. Oh, have you been getting into hockey, Michael?
Well, now that the Kraken are actually at reached 500, right? They won one win, one loss.
Yes.
That's pretty good for an expansion team.
Yeah, I have no idea when I'm watching. I don't know the rules. I don't know the players yet. So I'm kind of lost when I watch, Michael.
Yeah, you know the old saying that somebody went to a hockey game, Kraken game, and in the middle of a fight, a game broke out.
Michael Medved, appreciate you. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Great weekend, Ursula and G.
All right.
Thank you.
That is Michael from our sister station, the Michael Medved Show. Hey, coming up next, it is time for Mike Salt to come in and tell us what we need to know about the Seahawks-Steelers game and if Geno Smith is ready to be quarterback for the Seahawks. Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. We are just a couple of days away from another big game, and it's going to be a game of firsts for the Seahawks, with Russell Wilson sitting out and Geno Smith getting his first start in many years. And we've had a chance to kind of get behind Geno Smith, I think. Let's talk to 710 ESPN host. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Mike Salk. Forgetting my name?
No.
Hi, Ursula. Roy Dean.
No.
Wow.
No.
Gee, what has happened here?
I'm the most professional newscaster I know.
I know. My mind was going somewhere, and I just had a brain spasm.
Oh,
Mike, hello.
Hi, Ursula. It's cool.
How
We've only known
you?
Each other
I
since
know,
2009.
For years and years.
That's fine.
Years
totally
and years. This has been a crazy
fine
day.
I mean, okay. Wait.
Ursula's
Mike's
so red right
Mike's,
now.
Mike Salk is easy to forget about. So I
stop
get
that. No. Do you know, what I told you about, sometimes I get brain freezes about names.
I get that.
Even people I've known for years and years.
Yeah, I get it. No, it's fine.
Okay, Mike.
Yes. Hey. Hi, Ursula.
Okay,
yes.
So Geno Smith, that's what I was trying. I was trying to remember his name.
Yes.
Okay, so
it's Linda, right? That's your name?
Yeah, right,
Morning
exactly.
News on Cairo.
Yeah, that was a
Linda?
Couple of anchors
ago. Wrong anchor, sorry.
So he is like a potential Cinderella story. I am rooting for him.
Geno?
Yes.
I'm rooting for him, too. I mean, you know, he's not out of nowhere, though. This isn't like the Tom Brady story of he'd never done anything in his past, and then all of a sudden you get to find out what this young whippersnapper is up to. I mean, Geno Smith had a chance in the NFL as a starter. He was a second-round pick. He had years of opportunity with the New York Jets and did nothing with it. Then he went to the Giants, then he went to the Chargers. So he's been around the league and has never made it as a starter. That being said, you don't need him to become the starter here. You're not looking to replace Russell Wilson. You're looking for three games or so of giving you a good enough product to be able to go 2-1 during that stretch. And if you can go 2-1 and then get Russell Wilson back after that, then Geno's done his job.
Sunday Night Football, Seahawks travel to the Steelers. What are you more concerned about? The Geno Smith being the starter? Or the Seahawks defense?
Probably the defense. You know, they've just been terrible. Like, I don't know how else to say it. You try to be kind. Now, the one thing I will say about them, G, is that while they've given up a historic number of yards, they're not that bad in terms of points given up. They came up with a pick near the end zone, and other teams have missed field goals, and they've come up with some bigger defensive stops. So as bad as they've been at giving up yards, we had a texter in the show this week who reminded me, in this league, we judge teams, and games are won and lost based on points, not based on yards. And there is something to that. But as you watch the Rams game on Thursday night last week, and just the ease with which L.A. was able to go up and down the field, it's difficult to have a lot of trust right now. And the scary thing about it is that the biggest problems seem to be occurring in that part of the field where your biggest names play. Jamal Adams, who just got big money in the offseason. Bobby Wagner, who's a Hall of Fame linebacker. Jordan Brooks, a first-round pick. That middle of the field seems to be the danger zone for the Seahawks, and it's not supposed to be that way.
I have concern, Ursula and Chef. I've been wanting to tell you guys this since the start of the show. I have concern, and it has nothing to do with the upcoming game on Sunday night. And it has everything to do with what a new tight end, Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles, has now been traded to the Arizona Cardinals that is already undefeated, that is already loaded. Should we be concerned about this, Mike Salk?
Well, they are the Cardinals, so there's always a decent chance they will come back to Earth just by virtue of the fact that they play in Phoenix or Glendale or wherever they have the stadium these days. So, like, there's always the possibility that they will come crashing back down to Earth. And we've seen this before. Team adds someone in the middle of the season, and everyone says, well, good luck. They're going to be perfect now. And it just doesn't work out that way. All that being said, yeah, Arizona looks pretty good. Their defense looks legit, and they're adding players right now and getting better. So you got some ground to make up. If you go lose two of the three games here without Russell, it's hard to see how you're going to have enough time to make it up considering how good the Rams and Cardinals are in your division.
So what are we hearing now in terms of how long Russell could be out?
Well, I mean, the injury is 4 to 8 weeks. The reports are that it would be on the short end of that. So if it's 4 weeks, it would be three games because they have the bye in there. So in theory, he could be back for Green Bay in early November.
So what needs to happen? Are we still looking at a playoff team potentially?
Well, if you can, as I said, if you can go 2-1 during that stretch and then Russ comes back and gets hot. Yeah. If you lose two out of three or God forbid all three, yeah, I think you're probably not looking at a playoff team this year. It'd be really hard for them to come back from that. It would be almost impossible.
Okay, so, you know, I was struggling to remember the backup quarterback's name, and that's how I forgot your name,
Geno
too.
Smith.
Geno Smith. There is a quote here, and I was trying to look for it, and I found it. He says, sometimes I fight back tears before the games. Like, man, I wish I could be out there. So the reality is, he says, you've got to prepare and you've got to keep preparing. And this has been happening for years and years. So I guess there's that part of me that just thinks, oh, my gosh, I hope he has this spectacular game.
Well, and he played really well when he came in on Thursday night. I mean, there's a reason he's got enough talent to be drafted in the second round. I mean, he had a game when he was at West Virginia in college. He threw for like 650 yards in a game, something crazy like that. So he's talented enough to do it. He's just never been able to put it all together with any of the previous three teams he's been with. And honestly, even in preseasons with Seattle. I don't know how great he's looked. If you remember, he ended up getting hurt because he had some issues with pass protection in the first preseason game this year. So, you know, he's never been able to capitalize before, but maybe things come together for him this time.
One of the questions that has always been asked to you on your sports shows all the time, so you're comfortable with this question.
No.
The Seahawks win if...
Yes, I ask a lot of other people that question, so now it's my turn to kind of throw it at somebody else. Brock said today the Seahawks win if they don't turn the ball over and win that turnover margin by taking the ball away a few times. I think that's a good answer. But honestly, G, I think it's if they can just get pressure on the quarterback. And that's how you make big plays. If you can get pressure on the quarterback on defense, you can bother him. You can come up with those interceptions, sack fumbles. You can force him to throw before he's ready. Get off the field on third down. I don't see them lighting it up offensively. But if they can do what they need to do defensively, I think they'll still have a shot. And Pete's comfortable in those types of games. So I think it's pressure on the quarterback. It's those guys coming off the edge.
What's your plans this weekend, bro?
Well, gee, big weekend. I'll be watching some more hockey because now full-fledged. It's great having the Kraken here. I grew up a hockey fan, so I'll be watching some hockey. I got
their
soccer.
First win and their first fight.
That's right. Yes. And actually, those two things were related. Not joking. Fight led to the power play, led to the goal, led to the win.
Hey, it wouldn't be a great relationship between you and I if I don't leave you, and I don't want an answer. I don't want an answer.
Oh, so you mean you're
going to
get the last word? Yes,
right. You do that to me.
Yeah.
The question is this: why do they allow fighting in hockey but not allow fighting in basketball?
Same reason
and football?
They allow fighting in boxing but not in basketball or football. Different rules, different sports, bro.
Or there's actually boxing. Boxing equals fighting, but it's
why
weird.
Do they allow somebody to carry a ball in football but not in basketball? Why do they allow tackling in football? But not in basketball.
Yeah. There's actual taunting penalties in football, but there's fighting that's allowed in hockey. Weird. Odd. Love you, Mike Salk.
I love how he does that.
I'm not saying I love you after that. How dare you?
That is 710 ESPN's Mike Salk, who hosts the show from 6 to 10 on 710 ESPN.
And
she's
never coming on it again.
Yeah, I'll be there next Friday, 8 o'clock. Coming up next, you know what time it is. It is time for scenarios, and a listener sent in one about her and her roommate. We'll discuss that next. This is Gina Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Friday. I hope you guys are having a great Friday. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it will be time for Agree to Disagree. But right now, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Today's scenarios comes from someone named Allison. That's right. She sent us this, and it's simple. She says, I generally do nice little extra things for my roommate. Cleaning up their dishes, getting their mail, etc. But they rarely, if ever, contribute to any of the household chores. Question, should I continue doing the little things for them? 888-973-CHIRO is a State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
I would not continue if it's starting to bug her like it sounds like it is. And then the roommate will notice, and then you can talk about, hey, why don't we split up some chores? And then you're happy to do some little extras, but it shouldn't just be one way. Frankly, this conversation should have happened before you became roommates, because that's when it's easiest. That's when it's not, you know, already an established relationship, and now you're going to change the dynamic. I think it's so much easier when you have some ground rules or some chores. If it's chores or whatever else, it's figuring all that out before you live together, because it's harder midstream. But she shouldn't continue doing it because it obviously bothers her.
Chef, what do you got?
You could probably skip the mail, but unfortunately, like, unless you have your own separate set of dishes, a lot of times you don't have an option. Like, if you actually want to eat the food that you want to cook, so you have to clean up the kitchen. So yeah, have the conversation. But you know what I think is actually going on here? Allison, who included your location. Allison, I think your roommate listens to our show, and I think that you are using us to have this proxy discussion with your roommate so that you don't have to have the uncomfortable conversation. And you know what I have to say to that? Good for you.
Okay, so I'm with Chef on this. just chill with the mail. They just don't. I mean, that mail is a little extra out of the way. Grabbing the mail. Sometimes you got to let the mail. Well, I take that back.
Well, you're getting the mail anyway.
Exactly. So you know what the answer is? No, you got to continue. You're bought into doing those things. You get the mail, and you like for your kitchen to be clean. And by the way, if you're one of those, if you're a roommate situation, and one is someone who does not like dirty dishes in the sink ever, and one's like, okay, I'll get to it tomorrow, that's a problem. Because usually the person, there's some people who cannot go to sleep at night with dirty dishes in the sink. Like you cannot do it. As a matter of fact, in our sink here at the house, there is...
it's barely off your mouth before Lillian grabs it, right, and starts rinsing.
Okay, we have a dishwasher that I've never seen used. I've never seen the dishwasher used.
Yeah.
So
do you ever change it up, though, G, and just say, hey, Lillian, I got this. Let me handle it.
Whoa, wait a minute. If I use a dish, I just wash it. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I just wash it.
How about washing her dishes?
I did it last night. But she
I
had
love
a,
the pause.
She had a bowl of soup. And I said, ooh, I'll take that for you. And went there and boom.
Bet that made her feel really good. So, Allison, I say, don't be passive aggressive about it. Go ahead and just say, I love doing this and I will do it when I can. But I would love it if you also share in this. Can we come up with some kind of thing as far as the dishes go? Mail? I mean, that's kind of a, who cares about that?
Nah, leave hers in the mailbox.
No. Allison, here's the thing, Allison. You have been doing, you didn't do this for 1 month. You didn't do this for 2 months. You didn't say how long you guys have been roommates, but I bet you've been roommates for over 6 months to a year. With that being said, don't stop what you're doing because I guarantee you there's something that your roommate is doing for you too that is kind of nice. Like maybe when you guys go out to eat, they pay for it.
No.
Or maybe. What?
There are people in the world who are just takers and not givers. And it sounds like Allison is a giver. And I always tell my kids, too, if you're going to give something, don't necessarily expect something in return. It's you're giving from your heart, and it's not about, okay, we're going to make it equal. Mm-hmm. But if you expect it to be equal, then set those ground rules beforehand.
Well, I know there's people that listen to the show that snitch on me, so I just want to say I'm the giver in this relationship here with Lillian. Coming up next, Agree to Disagree, is Gian Ursula.